Did you know that donating your car, boat, or motorcycle to WMNF helps keep the station running? It's an important revenue source for us. Donating is easy. Simply call 1-888-966-3885 or visit WMNFcar.org to schedule your free pickup.
Your news, your views, your values. This is WMNF Tampa, 88.5 FM.
And we're back. This is WMNF 88.5 Tampa, Sarasota, St. Pete. And we are very, very glad to be back here on this show. And with
your
the
news,
State crew.
Your views, your values. This is WMNF Tampa, 88.5 FM.
I think we wanted to compare voices there. Were we comparing voices there, Alvaro?
No. Push the button by mistake.
Alvaro was trying to compare voices here. This is the Sunday Forum with your host, Walter Smith II, and the members of the Fourth Estate Crew. And we are back, and we're dealing with this issue of the importance of 100% clean energy movement to the frontline communities. The importance of 100% clean energy to frontline communities. The direction that this is going in, what's happening, you know, I have a correction to make. I thought that we had gotten better. I guess we have not. But Hillsborough County has the worst air quality, period. That's it. And that's from that's because of Small Hog and this American Heart Association that was making that determination. Consistently been the case for quite some time. And thank you, Phil Compton, for reminding me of that fact. So, you know, it's important, folks, that we recognize that this contributes to respiratory infections. But we can change that if we move away from fossil fuels. If we move away from fossil fuels, we can change that whole thing. And it's not like we can't do it. We can do it. There has been a plan that was supposed to be in place that was geared towards improving this situation by putting together solar fields. Hasn't happened. Solar energy hasn't happened yet. So there needs to be a move towards it. It needs to be a full commitment, folks. I just want to hear from some people out there about the situation. So let's go to Getulio. Getulio, what's happening, man? Welcome to the Sunday Forum.
Hey, what's going on, Walt?
All right, brother. What's happening?
Yeah, man. Another day, right?
Yep, absolutely.
So, yeah, I got to bring up, and I'm sure you might know this, there was a memorandum floating around about it. Since we're on the topic of frontline communities, there was a memorandum floating around for the city's equity plan for their so-called climate whatever they're working on in the city. And I have to laugh at it, man. I have to laugh at it. Listen to this, all right? This was their proposed equity plan. They wanted to have nine temporary jobs for 12 weeks for $15 an hour planting trees in the city of Tampa. That's their grand, that's how we're going to solve the climate crisis and economic disparity in frontline communities.
But doesn't that address the need for shade in our community?
Bruh, we saved the world, man. With nine jobs, $15 an hour. So listen.
Cambia el mundo.
Cambia el mundo. But listen. Part of the reason why this is very important, this Ready for 100 plan, is because of the jobs. Not only will we be cleaning up these frontline communities and making them more sustainable, making them safer for people to live in, we'd also be creating jobs for the people that live in the community, right? To clean up their own community.
Right.
Right? Everybody sees what's going on with the pandemic. If I'm not mistaken, 40% of black businesses were shut down permanently due to the pandemic. So there's a real need out there for economic stimulus. And when I say economic stimulus, I'm not talking about a $1,200 check. I'm talking about jobs, right? This Ready for 100 thing will create so many jobs in the city. Solar panel jobs, windmill jobs, technicians, all these things. And these jobs, everybody that goes and gets paid, what, $20 an hour, $30 an hour for doing a job like this, they're paying income taxes. They're going to local businesses, and they're spending that money, mm-hmm. right? They're going to restaurants. They're going to a Bucks game or a Lightning game or whatever, you know, baseball, whatever game, whatever sports you like. You can actually afford to take your family out there to watch it.
But right? They're participating in the in the economy. That's the point.
Exactly. They're participating in the economy, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And that's why this climate plan is very important. Not only are we cleaning up the community, we're uplifting the community at the same time.
Right.
And that's not just good for the community. That's good for small business. That's good for the city.
Right. And you look at people like Candy Lowe.
Income tax.
We look at people like Candy Lowe, who has the Black Business Bus Tour, right, to encourage people to support Black businesses. And the ability of people to support Black businesses, or any business for that matter, has to do with their ability to have an income, right? And if there is that opportunity through the 100% clean, which there is, clearly, the 100% clean energy movement, then so be it. That's what needs to happen. We need to, you know, that's what I see as the means to rectify that situation, right?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. So it's right there.
Okay.
You know, they have the solution right there in front of them. If there's pushback by lobbyists and corporations like FICO, you know, that's something that we as a community have to push back against, because we're the community. Not, mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned, corporations are not the community, right? So that's on us to organize, get together, mobilize, and let the city know, listen, this is what we want, because this is going to benefit us.
Right.
Not only is it making the city safer for us to live in, we're also creating jobs so that, you know, there's some sort of social mobility.
Well, those bad business practices that led to many of these environmental
exactly.
issues to begin with.
Absolutely.
So, no, they're not the community. You're right from that standpoint. They're not seen that way. And so I think that speaks to the detachment, if anything. I don't know if you agree with that. I think it speaks to the detachment of the city with regard to what the community is, to suggest that that's the case, to suggest such a thing, I think is seriously detached. Seriously detached. That's the first time actually that I've actually heard anybody refer to business as being the community, unless you're talking about small businesses, right? And that for sure was not what they were referring to. And, you know, that certainly was not what they were referring to.
All I needed to know that they were detached or out of touch or completely oblivious to what's going on in these neighborhoods and these frontline communities was their equity plan. Nine jobs is enough to.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Jobs,
that's
nine temporary jobs
no.
for $15 an hour. That's enough. We saved the world. We saved the city.
That's crazy.
Come on, man.
That's crazy.
Come on.
Hey, man, thank you, brother. We appreciate your call. Appreciate
you.
All right. Peace to you.
Yep.
All right. You know, that's a good point. You know, and we talk about these issues all the time, Alvaro. And it's like we're the detachment. Government is local and get this, everybody, understand. Federal government is one thing. You can't really get your hands on federal government. I've said this before. And I'll say it again, but you can affect greatly what happens locally. Local politics is everything, right? I find it strange that the legislative session begins in March. Just put this on your mind. Just put it out there. Watch out for it, folks. And this is why it's important to be proactive as opposed to being reactive. I find it strange that the legislative session is beginning in March, and this whole thing was tabled until March. I just find it, just putting it out there, just saying. And we're talking about something that can be affected at the legislative level. And at that particular point, it's preempted, and then the city can't do anything. And it's out of their hands. And there's an excuse. There's a reason why they can't do anything. I find a problem with that. Just my opinion. Just saying. Okay. All right. So let's go to Commissioner Brookins. Commissioner, how you doing?
Hey, All right, how you doing today, Walt?
I'm all right. I'm all right. Now hear your voice.
And congratulations on that grandbaby.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it, Commissioner. I appreciate it. Please tell us what you want to say to us.
Yeah, my problem, and I agree with you on that there is a detachment, and there is a detachment when it comes to health disparities.
Yes.
Now, my issue is Tampa Bay is supposed to be a progressive city. Where is the progressiveness when we need to start establishing the roadmap? They say that the community needs to speak up. The community is speaking up already. We're speaking up with the illnesses that's occurring in the household. We have great organizers out here like Phil and Brooke that are pushing these issues so that we can go to a 100 renewable energy city.
Mm-hmm.
And my problem is, it's no secret that we have a lack of green space, and we know that this is a contributing factor in low-income communities.
Right.
You know, my role is to listen so that we can address the issues that's going on. They say that we're not aware in our community. We are becoming more and more aware. So you're right. There is a detachment, and they need to understand that there will always be a correlation between the environment and our health.
Right, right.
They want to stimulate the community or the economic. We need to create these. The green jobs are there.
Right, right. Commissioner, let me ask you this question, because you're right. The green jobs, everything you said is correct. There's no question about it. And I agree with you 110%, okay? But here's my question. Many of us for years, for generations actually, when I say that, I mean us, I mean frontline community people, black people especially,
uh-huh.
who are mostly impacted by this whole thing, right? When we look at this whole thing, many times we say these things to people in our community, and it goes right over their head, primarily because there's been no connection with regard to what they're experiencing or their narrative and what is actually happening, right, environmentally. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm seeing as a real issue. So I would suggest, and I would submit that we need to actually do more education, right, as well as
right.
movement. So we need to do two things at one time. We need to educate and move at the same time. Otherwise, we're going to see more of the same thing and more issues there, and that's a problem. I think we lost the commissioner. Commissioner, if you're listening, please call back. Please call back. We missed you on that, okay? All right. We somehow we lost her call. But we'll get her back. That is Commissioner Sonia Brookins. And for those of you who don't know who Sonia Brookins is, Sonia Brookins is the very first black soil and water commissioner. The very first black soil and water commissioner. We're very glad to have her on the show this morning, speaking out about this issue. Let's go to Clay, Atlanta Lakes. Clay, welcome to the Sunday Forum. Hey, Clay, how you doing?
Greetings, Grandpa Walter. And congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Ditto to your first caller and your second caller.
Thank you.
You know, I got 3 points I want to make briefly, but
yes.
I'm going to start with the community is not being listened to. That's the problem.
Right.
Your last caller was talking to that issue. You know, the community is seen as these powerful business people, as corporate entities, and not the community, is not who the people are.
I'm sorry. Say that again, Clay. I want you to say that so everybody hears you and what you just said. Again, no, I mean really say it. Say it again. One more time.
The community is not corporate entities or businesses in the area. It is the people that they need to listen to. And they're not listening to the people because overwhelmingly the people believe that they need to do something much different than the business community and the corporate entities want them to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So let's start with, I first want to briefly recognize, I think we should recognize that the legitimacy, Evo Morales was a legitimately elected leader, and it was forced out of power in really what was a coup, and it was with forces within the country as well as with the help of our CIA.
Right.
Not like we haven't stopped interfering in what's going on there. And it's great to have Evo Morales back. It's great to have his party in control again. Hopefully we will be able to, they will be able to stand off other attempts by the CIA to screw with us all.
Right.
So, let's see, second, fracking. You did bring that up, and I wanted people to understand it. You know, fracking sequesters water, removing it from the hydrological cycle. That's part of what fracking does. And the water that returns is so polluted it cannot be made potable again. And fracking in Florida would threaten our number one water resource, which is the aquifer.
Right.
We can't afford to have fracking in Florida.
Right.
And we should never even consider it.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Clay. There's no question about that.
So next, I want to talk about, you know, it's wonderful the city is making these moves, and I'm not really sure how honest those moves are, towards clean energy. But we don't have 9 years. It may be too little too late. If we look at what's happening in the world right now with the storms, we just have our 30th storm. We set a record, and they're powerful storms. And the loss of our ice field throughout the world, some chunk of ice broke off from Antarctica that's threatening an island. It's so large that they're afraid of it. It's the size of the state of Delaware. If it runs into the island, it could cause a catastrophe. So I don't know what they're doing about that, but those are the things that are going on. And the city of Tampa really needs to, if they really, really want to move towards clean energy, they need to divest from their interest with PECO and create their own power production. Mm-hmm. And the buildings in downtown Tampa, the first place to start, you solarize all those buildings. But just think about it. Just
retrofit them all.
Really tall buildings that are up there that you put solar panels on them all, you put them on the sides that are to the sun's face all the time. I mean, you could create tons of energy from the city of Tampa alone.
Clay, one of the things that comes up, and I'm glad you mentioned that point, one of the things that comes up with regard to solar is this myth that if the sun doesn't shine, then we don't get solar energy. That's not true. That is certainly not true.
Even with clouds,
please,
we
folks,
get solar energy.
Exactly. Please. The sun is always shining, folks.
And battery technology increasingly is getting more and more sophisticated, and we can certainly put together batteries that are able to save the electricity that isn't used during the day for nighttime.
Yes, absolutely. They have generators. They have batteries that store that energy, and that energy. Just a little battery from something like that has extraordinary power.
Well, and especially when you look at the idea that, you know, I don't know about you, but I look around at night and I see all these things that are lit up like Christmas trees. Why are they lit up like Christmas trees? I mean, there's no reason to have these lights on in all these different places when there's no one there. It's serving no purpose.
Right.
We need to learn to stop using electricity when we don't need to use it. It's not rocket science. So we're in a climate crisis. That's the thing. We're in a climate crisis. The scientists who predicted what was going to happen have said that they did so in a very conservative estimate. And we don't have 9 years. We don't have 4 years, I think, to not take really radical action to address climate crisis. If we don't do it, we're going to lose our major coastal cities. I mean, because...
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we're having sea level rise, and we're not going to be able to stop it. I mean, we get to a tipping point. There's nothing we can do to fix it.
Right. And for those people who don't, thank you very much, Clay. We got to get some other callers on here. But everything you said is very, very real, and I'm going to address some of those things right now as we move on.
Peace be upon you all, and stay healthy.
All right. Thank you, Clay. Appreciate you.
Bye.
All right. Clay, everybody, listen, call in 813-239-9663 to the Sunday Forum. That's 813-239-9663 to the Sunday Forum. This is your host, Walter L. Smith II, the voice of the Tampa Bay area. I want to put a shout out, please, to Commissioner Sonia Brookins, Soil and Water Commissioner Sonia Brookins. Please call back because we lost you on the call a little bit ago. It's important that we recognize, folks, that this is not those people who are listening. Let me just put it like this: for all those black folks that are listening right now, listen. This is not a passing thing. This is not something that's a white person's thing. We are the most impacted by these issues. I just want to make sure that we're clear about this issue. We're the most impacted by these issues. Okay? We have got to get a grip on it. We've got to educate ourselves, and we have to make moves in order to rectify what's happening. Okay? I had to take my daughter to the hospital, okay, early Thursday morning, in order to get to Tampa General. When we got to Tampa General, the waters were rising, I mean greatly rising. This was a class one. Was it class one? Class one hurricane. They came through this time right here, okay? Ada, right? And that was class one. It overtook the bridge. By the time my wife and I got back over the bridge to get back, we just missed it. We just missed it. You know, if you think it's a joke, it's not. It really is not. A town and country, for instance, if you're living in town and country, that is a frontline community. Town and country is, according to the Phoenix Plan, the Phoenix study tells us that town and country is actually going to be the worst hit in all of Hillsborough County with regard to the devastation of a Category 5 hurricane, which we've not seen the likes of in recent history. There's no one alive that's actually seen a Cat 5. It came in 1920. This is 2020, 100 years later, and every indication says that we are due for a Cat 5. Folks, this is not a joke. This is very, very serious. Call in as we talk about this issue of clean 100, the move towards 100% clean energy in Tampa. This is very important, folks. Come on now. Come on. So we're going to go to our next call, which is Daryl. Daryl, welcome to the Sunday Forum. Call in, folks, 813-239-9663. This is WMNF 88.5 Tampa, Sarasota, Hillsborough. Daryl, what's happening, man?
Buenos dias, Grandpappy Walt. Did I say that? I hope I said that right.
You said it right, man.
I have to admit, when it comes to this, I am ignorant to that. My only thoughts about that was like, what are we all going to be driving? What, electrical cars by that time? And please don't y'all laugh, but in the class with me when it comes to that. But your previous caller, I think it was Clay, kind of put this in my mind frame of thinking. What is the profit margin in going totally clean? Where are we going to make, how are we going to make the profit, most people would be thinking? Everything that you pointed out, yeah, it's good. And you talked about this partially before about Progress Village and the gypsum stacks. Yeah, dust from that, you know, gypsum stacks are radioactive.
Right.
But unfortunately, this is the United States. Where is the profit margin? If anybody saw the movie Wall Street years and years and years ago, Gordon Gekko, where is the profit margin in that? They don't give a you know what about, you know, healthy communities and healthy water, a la Flint, Michigan. And it's good for profit. It's not as expensive. That's why we want to drain the water, you know, like with Flint and stuff like that. That's what I basically wanted to say. This is the United States. You got to factor that into that. Where's the profit in having a clean community like that? And that's all I basically wanted to say.
Let me just say this. I don't have the numbers right now. What I can tell you is this. We do have the not in front of me. I don't have them in front of me. I've looked at them before. Mm-hmm. They're not in front of me. Let me be clear about this point. First of all, if there's not a move to clean energy, there won't be any plants anywhere. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. There won't be any plants anywhere. Okay, so that's the first thing. The second thing is to the loss, if you're talking about a loss, there is no loss. There is no loss. So to say that there, for somebody to suggest that there is a loss between between shifting from coal,
fossil fuel,
fossil fuel or coals to solar, there is no loss. There are fields out there now, right? There are locations now. There are buildings now that need to be retrofitted, prepared for this whole thing. Let's start looking at what needs to happen in order to make it work. And the reason that we don't that we don't know definitively is because there's not been a move towards it. There's not been a real move towards it.
But you got to factor this one also into too. Selfishness.
Yeah.
I don't want solar panels on top of my roof. You got to factor that stuff in there too. A lot of people. I don't understand it. I know it generates electricity, but I don't want solar panels, on top of my roof or in my backyard and stuff. What do you say to those people?
There are other ways to secure that energy. I mean, for instance, in South Carolina, they have solar panel fields in certain areas, right? Mm-hmm. They generate the collect the solar energy, and as they collect, and solar energy is so powerful, as they collect this solar energy in one location, there's a line, a connection that just like with regular electricity, basically, there's a connection from that into other homes or other locations. You don't have to have a solar panel on your specific house in order for it to happen.
Well, let me say this one as I let
you. Boy, you gonna put them all out there, aren't you?
Yeah. we live in the United States, so you got to put all of this out there. Some people, you got to put in the greed factor. Free energy, where's the profit margin in free? We can go back in history, talk about Thomas Edison and with some other inventors. And he squashed it because, how I'm going to make a profit. We don't want free. We don't want free. And you and I, we love Star Trek, and I know there's science fiction or whatever like that. We don't want an energy source and kind of going on the vein of on the Art Bell side of talking about it, energy and all that kind of stuff, because it would wreck the economy. Free is not good for my profit margin. I guess that's what I want.
Well, of course not.
Why don't you have a good one? That's why I want to throw that out there.
Right. Yeah, no one, everybody understands that part of it, the free part of it. I am, to be honest with you, I am not... I'm not totally clear on that point entirely. What I can tell you is the benefits of the people. The benefit to the people is that you have a great savings, and you have clean energy that is not putting your life at risk or putting people's lives at risk because of emissions and things of that nature. So there's a way to do it, and it's not like nobody's figured it out. Now, this commentator right here, this host has got to take a look at some more issues surrounding that. But in understanding how this happens, I can tell you right now, there's no real loss. There's no loss there. The adjustment is made. Regulation is out there for these things, and so. That's the most I can tell you right now. If anybody's out there that can tell us more in terms of that part of it, please do. But in terms of the science, I can tell you the science and things like that, but that's about it. Let's see. Let's go to Chris. Chris in Clearwater. Chris, how you doing?
Good morning, Walter.
All right.
Happy grandfatherhood.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, to answer Daryl and a couple of his questions is that, for one, there's a technology that I don't see reported on very often called HHO. And as you know, water, when it's split apart, is H2O. But HHO, or Brown's gas, is where water is ionized and split apart into its components of hydrogen, oxygen. And just to be brief, there are these kits that are available that can yield at least 30% fuel efficiency, other kits that you can use to retrofit your vehicle or your yacht or your semi-truck or any fuel-burning engine can yield even higher than 30% fuel efficiency. It allows better responsiveness, and the fuel hydrocarbons are burned fully, so the emissions are non-toxic. It's only water vapor. And I've known about it for over 10 years, and people who have retrofitted their vehicles with great satisfaction. So I would like to see,
really?
If you'd like to do more research on it, contact anybody that I have links for on my website. One of these days I'd like to conduct interviews when I get the time. But if you go to the section, Alternative Clean and Free Energy, Gravity Control, Electrogravitics, Novel Technology, on my site, at the links page at theliberationstation.com. That's the bottom section of the links page at theliberationstation.com is that section. And very soon I'll be adding many more sites and other sections on that page. I need to maintain to add many more sites. But, you know, for those who can't afford a new car, it's a stopgap measure, and at least it weakens the hand of big petroleum. And I am against more oil drilling and fracking, because there are studies that show that it means increased seismic activity, removing the lubrication between the tectonic plates. And in 2016, I'm glad that Pinellas County here banned fracking, so I hope that Tampa, well, Hillsborough, can do the same thing. Now, that just a month ago, October 14th, the Tampa Bay Times wrote a report, wrote an article by Zachary T. Sampson entitled, EPA approves use of radioactive phosphogypsum in roads, reversing Long Hill policy. So just a quote, there are a billion tons of the solid substance phosphogypsum sits piled in high mounds called stacks, including several around greater Tampa Bay. And that's an end quote. But to answer Daryl's question, who does it profit to be exposed to radioactive waste? Well, not only does Mosaic Phosphate Mining Company save big bucks from not having to properly dispose of their industrial waste full of radioactive isotopes, heavy metals, and other toxins, we all save by not having to pay for street lighting.
Hmm. Okay.
That's just somebody's sick idea, I guess, of ensuring domestic tranquility the more toxins we're exposed to, you know?
Right. I tell you what, now let me do this, because that's important information. You know, whatever it is that you're sending out, obviously, because you've always given great information. Do me a favor, if you will, please make sure that you send that information over to the Sunday Forum Facebook page. Okay.
All right.
So make sure we get that out.
I'll do that in a few seconds as we talk.
Well, I got a bunch of other people that are online, man. A bunch of them.
What I already posted on your Facebook Live is, okay, what is the fairest greenhouse gas of them all? And that gets back to Mosaic and other phosphate mining companies, is how I explain that it's really not CO2, it's really fluorinated gases. And, of course, there are refrigerant companies that create fluorinated gases. But that is, according to the EPA's own website, the most impactful and the only exclusively synthetic greenhouse gas. Fluorinated gases. So that's something that we never hear asked about, is what is your fluorinated gas footprint? Of course, it's because it's industry who is the biggest damager to our environment.
Okay. All right. Yeah, absolutely. No question about that. All right, man. Hey,
take great care.
Thanks. Thank you, man. We appreciate you, brother. All right. That's Chris. Let's see who we are. Joseph. Welcome to the Sunday Forum, Joseph.
Good morning, abuela. How are you doing? How are you doing, abuelo?
I'm doing well.
For you and your lovely wife for the birth of this grandchild.
Thank you very much.
There's a couple things, Walter, I need to clarify, and I hope I can take just 2 minutes of your time. I pulled that resolution because it's an aspiration of mine. When I got the call from All for 100, this is a wonderful, great idea, and it needs to be done. I pulled it after Walter, the public comment.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to make sure that everyone in Tampa that listens to city council was understanding that this is needed and wanted by the people. But again, this is just an aspiration with this resolution. I pulled it because I wanted the companies and the corporations that would have looked to us and say, there's no way we have to abide by this resolution. I wanted them to come sit at the table and have them come on board so that when this resolution goes through and is listened to the community, that these companies will confirm their commitment to a clean, green, resilient Tampa. Regardless of what happens between now and March, Walter, this resolution will go through. But the table is big enough for everybody to sit down at and to resolve any issues and to make sure that everybody confirms that they're on board with a clean, resilient Tampa. So this resolution in March is going to go through, no matter what.
Well, you know, I'm sure, and I hope that it will. I'm sure that it will. My concern, and I think the concern of all of us, is the issue that when trying to recognize who the audience is, or better yet, who the people, who the community, when they refer to the community, the reference to the community was literally, and it was confirmed, the reference to the community was, you know, the Chamber of Commerce and businesses. Like, when I say businesses, I mean, like, big businesses, right? So what, you know, that's not the people. That's not the people. And there's been no effort to publicize this to the point that you are getting in contact with the people to have this discussion. There's been no public education. To me, that's problematic, and it should be to anybody else who's in favor of this whole thing.
Well, Walter, I'll go back to my original statement that says, I did not pull this until I heard from the public comment. And who is joining forces in this resolution, who actually came to me, is for the All for 100 people. And in my opinion, that is the strongest public comment that the city council can listen to. People like Phil Compton, who with the Sierra Club, that is the people. That is the community, Walter. So this wonderful, great, thoughtful idea for this resolution, mm-hmm. Walter,
mm-hmm.
came from the community.
Well, you know, in even speaking to Phil Compton, and I understand what you're saying, in even speaking to Phil Compton, what we're referring to is, and what he would love to see, is the fact, and Phil, you're welcome to call in to clarify this, but I know for a fact that he said, because he said it to me, is that we need to hear from the people of the frontline communities. The people from the frontline communities. That is most important. That's powerful.
Walter, I'm not going to disagree with you. That is the most important issue.
Okay.
And once we become this resilient city or work our way, these corporations are going to be able to ensure that the lower income housing, to make it affordable. Because, Walter, you and I both know that the number one cost of housing is electricity. And if we can put solar panels on these houses when they're built, guess what? Their costs go down.
Absolutely.
So this is the reason why I want to make sure that all these corporations are on board, and the important word here, Walter, is committed to renewable, clean, resilient energy. It's going to be for the people, and it's going to be by the people. So, Walter, I'm not going to take up any more of your radio show. I congratulate you on your grandchild.
Thank you, man.
You know, many, 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 many more, but this resolution will go through in March. I want these corporations to confirm that they're going to be on board with this.
Right, right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, Walter.
Absolutely. Thank you, Joseph. Appreciate it. I appreciate it. All right. Yep. We got it. You know, he's correct from one perspective, absolutely. But we've got to hear, we must hear from the people. They've got to be educated about what's going on and got to speak out about their, have their narrative heard in terms of what's happening in the community in order to support the effort. That's got to happen. That's got to happen. But DeAndre from Riverview.
Hey, good morning, man. Thank you for taking my call and congratulations on the expansion and growth to your family, man.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate it, brother.
Yeah, and I wanted to call in because my thing is that this is such a big thing. It goes beyond just Tampa. It goes to the county. It goes to the region. It goes to the state. Let me sidetrack from that a little bit. I don't think we all know enough about all the technologies that are out there when it comes to renewable energy and when it comes to, you know, different things we can involve in our infrastructure to help deal with, you know, urban heat islands and this and that. And I mean, there's talk about compressed air facilities that throughout the course of the day, some sort of field compresses air and acts like, no, it's an air battery. And it's a facilities with a bunch of silos that throughout the course of the day compresses air to turn around to push turbines to go ahead and power communities. Mm-hmm. You know, there are different things like that that are out there. There's the Orbis wheel. When it comes to automobiles, there's a wheel that has a motor built into the housing that when connected to the knuckles for the car can increase fuel efficiency and all these other things. It can give a car an extra 50 horsepower per wheel. You could actually hook up a car, get rid of the motor, put all these wheels on a car, and you got 200 horsepower, and with batteries connected to it, you power your car that way. You know what I'm saying? So there's not enough knowledge to the general community when it comes to this technology to then, you know, inquire about at that table, wherever that is, that, you know, is supposed to be had for us to try to deal with this move to 100. I will say this also. I think when it comes to Tampa and other cities like it, we need to start looking to building vertical. And if there's any housing, older homes where people don't mind getting rid of, you know, for a few blocks, you know, we need to go vertical and then turn those spaces around to make those green and solar spaces. That's probably going to be the way forward for us. You know, have, you know, apartment homes, you know, nice condos, resilient, you know, longer lasting condos for people to reside in. You know, go ahead and take down some of the homes that are around and about. And like I said, put up solar and green spaces so that the city, those regions, can go ahead and probably manage their own electrical supply as opposed to, you know, TECO and all that. And that's one thing, too. I've listened to WMNF enough to know, after listening to some of the lectures and what have you, that the public corporate partnerships ain't all that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They're not necessarily all that, because people get locked into things not even knowing. You know, it's like, because a lot of people don't know, you know, that these conversations of going to 100, you know, percent clean renewable energy is even happening. So people end up getting tied into things they don't even know about with these corporations. And these corporations still get to do what they want, making sure they get what they want as opposed to, you know, people getting what they need, you know what I'm saying, out of any dealings. Okay, so I'm a little discombobulated. I can go.
Oh, no, on. That's all right, man. That's, listen, there's like a billion possibilities of ways that we can do this. What we know for certain is that there is a need to retrofit homes. There's a need to move away from fossil fuels. Those two things we do need to do.
One more thing before, because I could just keep going and going and going. It's not very well structured what I'm trying to say, but high-speed rail.
Yes.
We were supposed to have that, yes. have had that now yes. a couple decades ago, okay? Right. And that gets more planes out of the air, one of the greatest contributors to CO2 and other greenhouse gases. It gets more automobiles off the road
right.
when they're going for their holiday, you know, travels cross country. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It does all these things, and we're two decades behind on that technology and that infrastructure. So yeah, I that's all I'm going to say, and I want to thank you for having this forum.
Thank you, brother. We appreciate it. We appreciate you, okay?
All right.
Call again.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye. Peace.
All right. Let's see. Let's get Billy from Tampa. Billy, welcome to the Sunday Forum.
Yes. How you doing there?
All right. All right.
And thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm an old man now, I understand.
This
is what I've been hearing. All right. So listen, you know, all this environmental stuff is well and good, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to happen under a divided government. And these guys, with this government currently, the one that's been defeated, and their enablers are doing everything that's logical in protecting this environment and getting the environmental air safety quality against the fossil fuel, which is ridiculous, and also jobs. And in fact, this we're losing jobs because, as you pointed out, we'll be losing a tremendous amount of jobs if this environment falls apart, and we all live on this planet. So, being said that, I think that given what I saw today, where you have a president that drives into a crowd, waving his fan in belief at a defeated government, and given his attitude that I am not going to concede, you know, this country is headed to some sort of civil friction, let's put it this way. Whether it's going to be both in the legislature, but or was it even to be physical? There's going to be a level of interference by those enablers to protect and undermine what we know is good common sense, which is the environmental cause. And you see this all over this country. We have this large fire in Peru. In that area where there never has been a fire before. You want to know who set that fire. You see, like you talked about the islands that are, the ice that is melting. You see this thing put on by Vladimir Putin to take care, to start having major shipping in the North Sea, up there in the north, up there in the Arctic area, because now that the ice is clear. You know, these guys aren't going to turn around quietly. And I think that this civil strife is going to take place all over the world. And another thing I think you need to do, read that book by Isabella Wilkerson called The Chaos. And I think you really get an understanding of what is going on here, that this system that we have in America is a system that's based on a chaos, color caste system, whereas you have a religious system in India, and it's very similar. And you have the caste system that was in Nazi Germany that came out of the Jim Crow caste system that we have here. Read that book, right. And it really gives you an understanding of what's going on.
Isabella Wilkerson, I'll make sure to do that.
Make sure you do it. And read this article in a blog called You Are Within the Norms.com. America is, America appears headed headed towards a civil war.
Okay.
It's called youarewithinthenorms.com, and there's an article that talks about it and stuff. And it's based on that book. Part of it is a cast, but it's something that we need to start taking a look at. But, brother, I think we're headed for some very rough times in the next couple of days. This does not look good.
All right.
You bet.
Appreciate you, Billy. We appreciate you, man.
All right.
Thank you now.
I'm frightening you here, though.
All right. All right. Peace. Bye-bye. All right. And we have Phil Compton. Phil, welcome to the Sunday Forum. Good morning. December 12th.
On your granddaughter. Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Phil. We appreciate you, man. And all the support you've given our family, man. Thank you, man. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Really appreciate it. December 12th, Phil.
Yes, we're going to have a community forum. Stay tuned because it is time for people to come together and talk about what's happening in their lives and how this is affecting them. You may not know it, but you probably do know somebody who's been cut off by TECO because they can't afford to pay their power bill during this COVID-19 economic crisis. You know, people have been talking about how do we afford to go to 100% clean energy. We can't afford not to. You know, the thing is, TECO is actually raising its rates now because the cost of natural gas, what we call frack gas, is going up. It's been really low for a long time, and we've always said, well, that's not going to stay that way forever. It's going up, and so is your power bill from TECO. Now, solar power, 100% solar power, it'll never be free completely, but it will be very cheap. We'll just have a little small nominal cost for transmission, and that's the way it's working in over 50 cities in America that are already at 100% clean energy. But we need a just and equitable transition to 100% clean energy. We need to make sure that the guys working for TECO right now at their plants in Big Bend get great jobs, paying as much as they do now, and don't just kick those guys to the curb. And I want to thank Councilman Citro for his kind remarks, but I just want to say, I don't speak for the community. My job with Sierra Club and working with the Tampa Bay Climate Alliance and all the great organizations like Florida Food and Water Watch and Environment Florida that are part of that, along with Organized Florida, is to encourage people to speak up. And you can speak up right now by you can leave a message for the mayor at 813-274-8251 or for council, do both, 813-274-8131. So the mayor is 8251, council is 8131, because we need to go forward with this and they need to hear from the frontline neighborhoods, as you're saying, Walter, for everybody to have a seat at the table. Not just the Chamber of Commerce, not just the environmentalists, but everybody, because this affects everybody. And we're talking about this, you know, TECO is actually cutting people off right now because they can't afford their power bills. There's something wrong, and we need a solution, and we all need to work together to come up with that solution. And the first thing we need to do is make sure that people have weatherized homes, that they cut their power bills, that TECO and the city come up with a way to help people lower their power bills, and the city itself. It reduces our tax burden by saving money, by weatherizing, by improving the energy efficiency, retrofitting the city's buildings itself. Before we put solar on our rooftops, we got to cut our power bills first. So I hope everybody will call the mayor, 8251, or council, 8131. That's 813-274-8251 for the mayor, 813-274-8131 for council, and say, let's get our neighborhoods, our frontline communities involved in the planning process that has already begun with the Climate Action and Equity Plan. Thank you, Walter.
Okay, thank you very much, Phil. Phil Compton, everybody, with Sierra Club. Very important words there. December 12th, we are having a forum in East Ybor right now as it stands. There's more information to be had on that. This is the Sunday Forum on WMNF 88.5 Tampa, Sarasota, St. Pete. We want to make certain that everybody has a seat at the table. Everybody has a voice with regard to this and their lives. This isn't just some fly-by-night, Alvaro, Yumiko. This isn't just a fly-by-night. This is real. People are getting sick. People are dying. People are losing their jobs. They're losing their homes. There's a serious, serious issue here. And we've got to face it. We've got to be on the front lines of it because we are the most impacted. Folks, please, we're glad to have you here with us on the Sunday Forum. Join us next week on the Sunday Forum here on WMNF 88.5 Tampa, Sarasota, St. Pete. And this is your host, Walter L. Smith II, the voice of the Tampa Bay area, along with the members of the Fourth Estate, saying to you, as always, from my voice to the radio waves, to the hearts and the minds of the people, we love you. And there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. Peace.
When you want to go exploring, you got to find some-